Going to begin this Mother's Day with a little trivia and some statistics. Now, the trivia question may be easy for many of y'all. The headline of this article is, who spends the most, consumers spend the most on which day, Mother's Day or Father's Day? I suspect we all know that answer, don't we? But I've got the data. Listen to this. I find this quite troubling. Number of people who celebrate Mother's Day, 84.5%. Got to get that 0.5 in there, Wanda. Number of people who celebrate Father's Day, 76.1. Boo. Overall spending on Mother's Day, $19.9 billion. You mothers are an economic boom. Father's Day, $12.5 billion. Come on, guys. Average spending per person in your U.S. for Mother's Day. Well, this is kind of embarrassing. $162. I don't know if I did that good, Shishi. Average spending for Father's Day is $113. I like that one now, price. Cheaper than a wedding, isn't it? People who give cards on a Mother's Day, 81.3%. And people who give cards for their dad, 64%. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I'm not surprised, are you? We take care of mama. Why? Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. No, that's not it. We take care of mama because she takes care of us. You know, Paul and Peter and John, these early disciples that were the missionaries, the evangelists of our church, you know that each of them in their own special way were nurtured in their faith through a loving mother. Peter, we hear the talk of his mother-in-law when Jesus restored her health, and then she exuded her faith by showing our faith is not only what we say, but it's what we do. She served. And it was John, yes, John, the beloved disciple, when Jesus, at his crucifixion, looked upon John and looked upon his mother and said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." She had nurtured him in the faith. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Almighty God, our Father in heaven, who sent the beloved Son to the earth, gave as Jesus' primary teacher of the faith, Mary. Mary, one who the angel proclaimed, "You are blessed among women." And Mary, who went on to say, "Oh, may I magnify the Lord through my life, through my nurturing of this child who will nurture the world around us to God's glory." We learn from mothers how to be better disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. But you see, it's their selflessness, their sacrifice, their willingness to love us even when we are unlovable that exemplifies the call to faith that Jesus learned and gave to the world. In our text, where we hear this reading in Acts, where Paul had visited with some who were outside of the church, outside of the people of faith. They were those known as Gentiles, not the chosen race. Paul went to visit him after having that vision where God said things are about to change. No longer call those who aren't of the chosen race, the Jewish tradition, no longer call them outsiders, but call them people of God too. Peter went. This is where we pick up today. He went as he was invited to go and visit with the centurion and his family. And it says here, even as they heard him preach, the Holy Spirit claimed them with the gift of love and life as people of the church. And I love how our text ended. It says they invited Peter after that experience to stay with them for several days. You know who I think the inviters were? It was the mamas. It was the women. You know the men wouldn't have been brave enough without to ask them without getting mama's permission. You see, mothers had the gift of hospitality. They serve and offer that welcoming spirit to those on the outside. When we are unlovable, their love is still there. That was the gift of Mary that nurtured Jesus and the gift that Jesus offered to nurture his church. A favorite storyteller of mine and Tommy Covington's is a man named Donald Davis. Donald Davis was once a Methodist preacher, and then after years in ministry, transitioned to being a full-time storyteller, helping others to tell their story even as he told his. Davis shared the story of his father, who was known as Banker Joe, growing up in rural North Carolina, just across the line from Cherokee near the Gatlinburg area in Tennessee. He said his father was born in 1907, and he nurtured the family with his love throughout his 85 some odd years. Davis said that in that small town that they lived in, there were three people named Joe Davis. So, of course, him being a banker, he was Banker Joe. One day walking out of the bank, as he was locking up the store, he said hello to his neighbor across the street, Mr. Phillips. And Mr. Phillips said, "Hello, Cripple Joe." Donald Davis said, "I didn't like that. I was 13 years old. The man across the street called my daddy Cripple Joe." And he said, as we got into the car, my dad said, "Let me tell you a story." And he said, "I'd never heard this story that as my dad, when he was 5 years old, he had an accident playing, chopping wood with the family, and he cut into his kneecap. And his leg almost had to be amputated in the early 1900s. But through the love and care of his mother and surgeons and those who cared for him, he was able to get some functionality from his leg again. But it would never be the same. He would walk with a limp for the rest of his life." Davis said a monumental experience in his life, that of his father's, was after the accident, at the young age of 5, his mother said this to him, said, "Now it's time to tell your story." And he said, "But I don't want to tell my story." She said, "But if you don't tell your story, things that happen to us in life are like a big rock that are just cast upon us. And if we don't tell our story, Randall, it will consume us. But if we continue to tell it and live beyond it, we can get up on that rock and persevere." She said, "I want you to tell that story. And first, I want you to tell it about what you learned from this experience. Then I want you to tell the story in this way. What do you think the doctors and those who gave care to you learned from your story? And then," she said, "as you tell the story, I want you to tell it from my perspective and your father's perspective. What did we learn? How will we change from your story?" And then ultimately, she said, "I want you to tell the story, and I want you to remember this. Because of your accident, what are the things that you get to do that none of your brothers get to do? Didn't have to work out in the field. had to learn how to work with his hands and his minds and be more studious. He said, I tell you what, the more I told my story, I figured out that chopping my knee was about the best thing that ever happened to me. And it was all through the encouragement of his mother. You see, friends, if we are to be the church, to be the ones who truly embody the call of our text today, where Paul and Peter and John the evangelist took what they'd learned from those who nurtured them in the faith and gave that love to who? To all of creation. You see, that's the call for everyone to have a seat in the house of God. For everyone to be included. Those who look different, talk different, act different. Whoever the outsider among us is to us, they too are children of God. Worthy of our love. Love in the way that we've been loved by the greatest example. Whether it was a mother, a grandmother, a great aunt, or some other example of Christ, may we be that to those around us. You know, as we consider what's next for the church, the Christian church, the church universal, as we transition in this time of a post-COVID world, what's the church going to look like, right? Friends, I think it's more important in this time of our history for us to be more welcoming now than we've ever been. Not just say they're invited, but be inviting to those who are outside of these walls. I have a friend I've been ministering to. He's a Buddhist, of the Buddhist faith. And recently I took him to lunch, Price, and I said, I want you to tell me more about Buddha and what he's done for you. And I want to tell you more about Jesus and what he's done for me. Not in an authoritarian type way. I'm beginning a dialogue. I'm nurturing him. I'm loving him. I'm wanting to introduce him to the one who's changed my life and save me forever. And let's think about this moment. Even if we view Christ in the most gracious manner possible, that even those who have no idea that Christ is the Savior, if his grace is big enough, if we believe in his love, we still want to share it with those around us, right? Because we found that our life has been more joy-filled by walking with Christ in our daily journey. May we, church, as we visualize and consider what the world post-COVID is going to be, may we be more of an example of the mothers who've nurtured us with our love by accepting us even when we're unacceptable, by encouraging us when we need it most of all. May we be that voice to the world around us so that all who look upon us may come to believe and know that the love of Christ is without end, and we all are invited at the table of our Lord. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for this day of worship, this day of rest and restoration, where we pause from the busyness of our lives and consider how busy you are in loving us and caring for us. We ask, O Lord, that even as we proclaim and share in our worship with you, that we may be your light and love to the world around us, We pray for the ministry of this congregation, of this church, wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed beyond this specific denomination or congregation. May the world look upon your church as the hope for all creation, that all are invited to be loved by you. We pray for our nation. We lift up those who lead us. We pray for our president, our Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court. We lift up those who serve our nation in military. We ask you to keep them safe and protected. We pray for every person on our prayer list, individually and collectively. We ask for miracles of grace and healing and wholeness for those who you entrusted us to minister to most of all. We pray for those that we may be estranged from, perhaps even enemies. Will you bring healing and wholeness to our relationship together as we live out your light wherever there's darkness? We pray for our friends and family. We pray for each other right now, for everyone and with one another, for the heart's desires, what can be in accordance with your holy need, O God. We ask that you would bring healing, wholeness, and miracles of grace. Whether our brokenness be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational, you are the physician. We ask for miracles of grace, the balm of Gilead, to anoint us all. And now, God, as your children, claimed by you and loved by you, we lift our voices as one and say together the words you taught us by praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, friends, I invite you to join with me in affirming our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you say what you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, friends, let's receive together God's blessing for us as his church, as his people, as his children. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance, his gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen.